I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans. This is just a launching platform for the message this day. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 has a very important message that the Lord points out to us. And he points out in this passage in verse 4, says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." Now this morning I want to talk a little bit about calling and what that means. Now, we obviously know that there are some very different ways that the Lord deals with individuals. There's different callings, and we're not going to get into too much detail in regards to that. We know there is a call to salvation. We know there is a call to sanctification. We know there is a call to service. We know that there's the Lord specifically calling throughout Scripture. We see over and over and over again multiple verses calling to saved, believers, unbelievers, every single member, or dare I say person of society this world has ever been and ever will be, the Lord is called to them. And I want to focus this morning on a specific individual that was called so that we can take this principle that we find in Romans and apply it. That we can take a look at this and say, hey, you know, this was written for our learning. Everything in this Bible is written for you to learn. Somebody that doesn't want to learn, somebody that doesn't put effort into learning, there's a problem in their heart. That is a big issue. Because the Bible calls us to be ever learning about our Lord, ever learning about His will. There's something that we need to understand about when He gives us commands of study to show ourselves approved unto Him. When we realize the importance of Scripture about it all being profitable for us, we have to look at those passages of Scripture, seek those things that we, as believers, can glorify our Lord and what He has done for us, bring praise to His name, and definitely please Him in all things. So we're going to endeavor to do that this morning as we take a look at an individual by the name of Peter. Now, some of us are familiar with Peter. Peter is the guy that we all love because we see sometimes a little bit of Peter in us. Amen. Sometimes we look at an individual and we just kind of begin to categorize them, kind of like people will look at that individual and say, well, that person's ADD or that person's OCD or something of that nature. In Christian circles, we look at a person and we go, oh, that person's a Peter. Yeah. May not necessarily be the nicest thing to say, or we might say, hey, that person's a John, or that person's a Paul, or something of that nature, kind of ascribing some of those traits and some of those things. But I want us to look at Peter and understand there's some things about his life and the way that he was brought into the ministry of the Lord and Savior and what that looks like. It's not necessarily one that we would often think fits the specific role that we ascribe to him. It's not one that we would necessarily say is something that is a normal way, but it's something that very clearly is used to show and demonstrate to us the Lord uses unique situations, unique circumstances, unique conditions to show to us that He calls us sometimes the same way. That the way He engages with us, the way that He works with us, the way that He develops us and develops our heart is going to be unique. The Bible warns about comparing ourselves to someone else. You start going into a very dangerous territory when you start comparing yourself or others to other individuals. Because number one, we can't always see what's going on in that person's life. We can't judge that person's heart. We can't judge motive. We're not God. We're not Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful about that. And sometimes we actually set individuals up as idols when we start comparing individuals and looking at a person and saying, oh, well, that person's a man of God, or this person's this, or that's, you know, a godly lady or something of that nature. We have to be very careful about that. Because all godliness comes from Jesus Christ. We need to be looking at our lives and saying, am I matching up with what God has for us? And that is the desire of the Lord, and that's the desire should be for everyone. But what we see is throughout the Bible, God calls individuals, and I want us to turn over to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 4. God calls individuals in various different ways, in various different methods. And when we look at Peter's life and we look at how he was brought about to follow the Lord, there was something very unique. There's something very unique about it. And this example that we're going to see is just talking about the beginning part. There is a lot that is recorded about Peter's ministry, his work later on. There's a lot that's ascribed in the book of Acts. There's a lot that's ascribed in the Gospels. But what we're looking at specifically is that first calling. And I want us to think back on this. This is a message that it should cause us to reflect. This is a message that should cause us to truly pause and think about our life and what the Lord has done in it. It's not necessarily going to fit the exact circumstance we see here. It may look similar, but all of us need to step back and to begin to look at that, because it is something that we can say, hey, I need to learn from that. The Lord uses things in our lives to teach us, amen? He uses things in Scripture, clearly as we say here, as He says, to teach us, to get us to learn. And that is what we endeavor to do this morning. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. I thank you again, Lord, for this study that we're looking at. I pray, Lord, that we would take these things and begin to use them in a way that would glorify you, that we'd look at our lives, we'd look at our calling of you in our lives, and Lord, we would follow through with it. I thank you again, Lord, for all those that are here this morning. And I pray, Lord, our hearts would be humble, receptive, and ready to learn and ready to listen. And all this I do ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew chapter 4, we're going to go down here to verse 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Now, this is a very interesting account. We find two individuals that are there just doing their normal day-to-day job, day-to-day activity, providing, you know, for their families and going about being a commercial fisherman at this point. And the next thing you know is Jesus walks by and says to them, "Follow me." And they just, everything stops. They lay everything down and they follow after. Now, the fact that he is saying here only a few words, one sentence, and they do that could really make us go, wait, what? Why? How? I mean, if somebody calls you and says, "I want you to follow me," and gives you kind of a message like that, I think most of us would probably go, "Who are you? And what multi-level marketing scam are you selling me?" We would be like, what is going on here? But what we find here is we find only a partial account of what happened with Peter. I want you to see how the Lord develops Peter's heart. And it wasn't something that necessarily happened overnight. It wasn't something that was over the course of, you know, just this small sentence and then boom, all of a sudden he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus," having no idea who he is. That's not how this works. The Bible encourages us to compare Scripture with Scripture. To look at things, to study it out. And just reading casually is not going to give us what we need. We have to endeavor to look deeper. We have to endeavor to look deeper. Here he is in verse 19 where he says, follow me. And this is again the calling that we see here of the beginning part of Peter's ministry, what the Lord was using him in, and says, follow me. And we find that straightway is a term that is used, meaning that he does not hesitate. He does not give it a second thought. He just immediately, everything is laid down, says, bye, Dad, and he's gone. He's just gone. Both him and his brother. But there's more to that story. I mean, what would cause these men to just walk away from their livelihood, walk away from their families, to follow somebody by the name of Jesus? Why would they do that? I want you to notice the development of Peter's heart. I want you to go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And as we do this, I want us to be reflective in our own lives and think about how the Lord has developed your heart. How the Lord is currently developing your heart. And what we find in John chapter 1 is we find this passage. We're going to read verse 29 is where we're going to start. We read this morning. And it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him, saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, and that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bear record, that this is the Son of God. And again the next day, after John stood, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. So here we have John the Baptist giving an account very briefly of what he has seen. John is 100% convinced at this point, even though there was doubts later on, he's 100% convinced that Jesus Christ is the one. That he is the Lamb of God, that he is the one that has come to take away the sins of the world, that there was a purpose he was here. He is 100% convinced he is the Christ, he is the Messiah. He is not unwavering at this moment in time. And he declares that. And interestingly enough, there's two disciples that are right there with him. And here's John's message that was mentioned the day before. And here he is, again, a kind of follow-up message, if you will, repeat. And he's doing this, and his two disciples that are with him, that are hanging around as John's disciples, they're not Jesus' disciples, they're influenced by what John is saying. They're influenced by what John was saying. I'll tell you this, that the Lord will start using individuals that have been influenced by the message of God to help develop your heart. He will do that. He's done it in my life, and I'm sure many here can definitely say that is the case with their life. The Lord has used other people that have said certain messages. Because what do we find these two individuals doing in verse 37 to pick it up here? It says, and the two disciples heard him speak, that's John the Baptist, and they followed Jesus. John is saying, that's the Christ, that's the Lamb of God. And they look at John and they're like, see you later, we're after him. Because that's what they were looking for. John wasn't looking for disciples for himself. John wasn't looking for something like that. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that are looking for disciples for themselves. There are a lot of people out there, and they're, you know, there's pastors alike, that they want people to come to the church because they want people to teach. They want people in their lives that they can have influence on. That pastor's got the wrong idea. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. I don't want Ken Stewart disciples. I want disciples, Christians, true Christians, that follow the Savior. Yeah. That is what we should all be seeking. And here we find John, you know, he has no problem with his disciples leaving. Why? Because they're following after Jesus. They're following after Jesus. In verse 38, it says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, I want you to notice something here. They're following him. Jesus Christ notices they're following. And sometimes, if you're acutely aware of that, you can tell when somebody's following you. If you're paying attention to your surroundings and you look back and the same people are following behind you, well, in this day and age, be careful. But he turns around and he sees them following and he confronts them. What do you want? They want to see where he is. They want to know where he stays. And why is that? Because they were wanting something from Jesus. And they got it. They were seeking something from Jesus and they truly got it. They spent the day with Jesus. Could you imagine that? Right now, let's say Jesus Christ was to come down and sit in and say, "Hey, I'm going to come sit at your house." I'd call work and I'd say, "I've got something more important to do." I'd be like, you know, "I'm sorry, cancel all my appointments. You know, look, if it happens on November 7th when I've got my surgery scheduled, guess what? Rescheduling surgery, I'm going to spend time with Jesus." Well, that's an important thing. I want you to notice here that here they are, they're following Jesus now, and they're spending the day with him. Here these two individuals, they're getting time to talk with him, to hear the messages he's preaching, to hear the truths and the doctrines he's speaking, to hear, to willingly be taught of the Savior. And what do we find in verse 40? One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was who? It was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Simon Peter's brother. Some things start to come into light about what happens over there in Matthew chapter 4. And what do we find here? He says in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. He says, "We found him. We found him." You know what that means? Peter knew what that term meant, Messiah and Christ. Now look, you know, my mind kind of runs wild and I kind of try to fill in the blank sometimes and I can sit there and kind of imagine, you know, here's Andrew and he spends a lot of time with John the Baptist and he comes home and he starts telling his dad, Jonah, and starts telling his dad and starts telling Peter, "Oh, you know what John said today? Hey, here's what he said today. He said Jesus is coming. He said, or, you know, Christ is coming. He's saying the Messiah is going to be here with us soon." And then, you know, at some point in time, you know, here he is, and he said, "You know what he just said the other day? He said he saw him." And the next day, there he is with John, and John says, "That's him." And Andrew goes, "That's who I'm following. If he's the Christ, I'm going after him." And you know what he does? Peter had already heard the message. Peter had already been worked on by the Holy Spirit, by God, because he knew exactly what that meant. Now look, I understand that the word Messiah is a national term for the Jews. They are still looking for their Messiah. And I'm like, he's here. He's been here for a while. All you have to do is find him in the book. But here's Peter, and in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. This is the first time Peter meets Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 was not the first time Peter met Jesus. That wasn't the first time Andrew met Jesus. Andrew had already spent the day with him. And now he had brought his brother, Peter, along with him. And it says, and when Jesus beheld him, He said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And he says some weird thing, you know. I mean, it would be weird if that happened to you, amen? It should be clear. I mean, obviously, we understand what it means. But here he is saying something to a man he has never met before. A man he has never had the opportunity to meet. And here's Peter meeting him for the first time. And Andrew is all excited. And again, I can kind of see this. Andrew's all excited. And he's like, he right in here. He opens the door. He shoves Peter inside. Peter's standing there. And there's Jesus. And before Peter can say anything, before Andrew can introduce him or anything of that nature, Jesus knows exactly who Peter is. Jesus did that to begin working in Peter's heart, to begin to contemplate what he said, to get him to begin to meditate on that. I mean, go home and talk to his dad and say, Dad, he changed my name. I mean, you know, my name's Simon. Why did he change my name? And, you know, I mean, Dad, you named me. Did you name me wrong? What's going on? And that begins to work in Peter's heart to begin to draw Peter closer to the Lord. Take a look at what happens next as we see this. I want you to go over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I love how when you begin to study the Gospels and how they all work together, you can start putting the puzzle pieces together. You have to sit down and write these things down as you're reading them and begin to meld them together and begin to realize what the Lord is showing and realizing these things. And what we find is that Peter had already been worked on. He'd been worked on from what he was hearing from Andrew. He'd been worked on from what John the Baptist was telling Andrew. He was now being worked on by Jesus Christ himself by changing his name. And Peter's heart needed work, amen? And here he is working in his heart to do something. And we find in Luke chapter 5, let's take a look at verse 1. And it came to pass that as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So here's Andrew and Peter. They're going about their business again after meeting Jesus Christ. And verse 3, it says, and he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's. He didn't just randomly choose, go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, okay, you're it. No, he got into Simon's boat because he knew it was Simon's boat even before Simon told him it was his boat. Because he already knew Simon Peter, now Cephas, before he even met Jesus Christ. And we find here that he enters into one of those and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now here's Peter in the boat. Kind of a captive audience. He can't leave. He's captain of the boat. He's bringing it back and forth and so on and so forth. And what does he wind up doing here? He gets to hear the whole message of what he was teaching these people. Now, that, you know, there's always these speculations about how the Lord could be, magnify his voice to carry and so on and so forth. You know, Peter didn't need any of that because he's sitting right by him. He's on that same boat and hearing all that message. And in verse 4, it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, there's a lot that goes on in that verse, amen. But in verse 6, and when they had had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. I kind of have an idea who their other partners were, amen? And they came and filled both the ships that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, there they are, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, the Lord likes to do that. There we find in the first gospel, if you're reading through, just reading through according to the arrangement of the Bible, you see that passage and go, man, what would cause these individuals to just walk away from everything? It's because Peter had already seen a lot. And what was briefly mentioned over there in Matthew didn't go into the great detail that we see here in Luke. And at the same time, it didn't give the background of what was already going on in Peter's life and how he was working in Peter's life and working in his heart to bring Peter to the point of where he needed to be on his knees in front of the Savior. And declare with humility, "I'm just a sinner." Peter knows at this point. Peter knows at this point. And we find the calling. We find what's going on here in this passage. Now, again, just you go back over to the book of Matthew, just for a moment, Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, And I want you to understand, while it's not necessarily disclosed everything that was said on that boat and what Jesus taught, but Matthew begins to give a bit of an understanding of what was taught, because we find him talking about what Jesus was doing and when he departed and so on and so forth. But I want us to go down here as he begins to expound, and Matthew begins to go through some of the prophecy. Here he outlines and identifies the message that would have been taught. Now, however he's taught the message, however he expounded upon it, how many points he had, how long it lasted, we don't know. But here's the message that was being given in verse 16. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in shadows of death, light is sprung up." You know what Peter saw? Peter saw something different that morning. Peter saw something unique that was light, and it began as a glimmer. As there was the hope that the Christ would come, here he is having Andrew come and tell him, "We found him." The light begins to glow. He meets Jesus Christ. It begins to glow brighter. And then now, as he sits there, and a second time, Peter is in contact with our Savior, Jesus Christ. He sees something. He sees a light beginning to grow brighter and brighter and brighter. And then to top it off, for just to make sure Peter grasps the whole concept, he's going to show him something that Peter himself had futilely tried all day, all night. And look at what he did. That light started to shine forth brighter. And it is no wonder that John, the Apostle John, in John chapter 1, refers to Jesus Christ as the light. That is what Peter saw. That is the message he heard on the boat. And again, here he is, he's following it up with a miracle. With a miracle. Here he is, he's witnessing a miracle. He's witnessing all of this. And what this does is it brings him to the point of what is necessary for the calling to happen. And what is that? Humbleness of heart. Humility. God doesn't call prideful people. God doesn't need prideful people. As a matter of fact, James says God resists those people. He doesn't want those people. Those are people that he's like, nope, sorry. He keeps them at a distance. But what he draws near to are those that are humble. And what Peter did here at this point is he humbly gets on his knees and says, I don't know why you're here. I'm just a sinner. And our Savior calls him to a purpose. You know, when you come to Christ as your Savior, there is an additional calling that happens. Not only is it a calling to come to the Savior for salvation, not is it a calling to depart from the sin, to depart from self, but to turn to our Lord and Savior, to turn to Him as the hope of salvation, to turn to Him for forgiveness of sins, to turn to Him for redemption, to turn to Him for, as we talked about this morning, your everything. Your Alpha and Omega. And all the letters in between. Not only is He that, but I mean, He then calls you to do something else. And He calls, and if you will, he sanctifies Peter here by calling him and saying, hey, I'm going to set you aside for a certain purpose. And you know what that purpose is, Peter? You're going to start catching men. You're going to start being a witness. You're going to start being used in a way that you could never even fathom. Could you imagine, there he is, young Peter, probably didn't even have a thought in his mind. Because back then, that really wasn't the case. You ask a child today, and you say, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? And they come up with everything under the sun, amen? They're like, doctor, and people are like, no, because we're losing doctors left and right and not replacing them. Lawyers, well, we're losing them too. You know, they talk about doing this and doing that. And then they talk about being a YouTuber or an Instagram influencer, and you go, no. No, it's a hard no. You know, all that type of stuff. And in the end, I guarantee you, Peter didn't even have that thought. Why? What are you going to be, Peter? Duh, fisherman. Why? Because that's what my dad and my brother are. That's what my best friends, James and John, are. And their dad. We're a fishing family. That's what we do. What do you mean I'm going to go do something else? What am I going to go do? Going to go over there with Levi and start getting taxes? Going to go over there and buddy up with Luke and be a physician? Like, no, I know fish. I know how fish think. I know how to catch fish. And the Lord says, I know how to catch fish better. The Lord develops him and calls him to something. He calls him to set his life aside, to forsake all. You know, that's what the sanctification part is. When something was sanctified and it was consecrated in the temple, it was set aside and it wasn't to be used for anything else. It was used for Him. Paul follows up with that in to the church at Corinth when he says, what, know you not, you're bought with a price? Ye are not your own. You're God's. The Holy Ghost lives in you. The Holy Ghost lives in you. You need to live a life accordingly. You need to live a life that glorifies Him, that shows His purpose, that shows everything about Him. I mean, here we are looking at this passage. We realize He called him to a point of service. Not only was He saying, I want you to just forsake everything, but I want you to follow as well. Don't leave my side, Peter. Now, we know what happened. We also know about the forgiveness of the Lord. Amen. Because I guarantee you, we all would have done the same. Every last one of us. And one of the amazing things about all of this is Peter did follow. And Peter had his ups and downs in the ministry, had the frustration that was there. But I'll tell you this, Peter followed the Savior. Peter followed His commandments. It wasn't about just physically following. It was about following what He said. It was about following what He said. And what that did is it produced a life of service to which Peter was called. A life of service that wasn't about fish. A life of service that wasn't about physical. A life of service that was called about something greater. And He used all the apostles that way. But one thing is very clear about Peter's calling is it shows how God works in our hearts before He gets to that point, before He calls you to something for service. Before the Lord called, He prepared Peter's heart, even before he met. He had the individual witness of his brother. That's an amazing thing. Look, you know, we can have outreach events all day with the church, but I'll tell you this, you know who brings people in? You. You. Handing out a tract, telling something about Jesus Christ. That's where the growth happens. That's where true witnessing is engaged. The individual witness of his brother saying, I have seen Jesus. I have seen the Christ. He demonstrating to Peter that he recognized him even before he ever met. He knew who he was. He knew who his dad was. He knew everything about him. To hear the teaching that had an impact on his heart as he sat there and listened to the message in the boat. To see the power of Christ displayed in something that they had never, ever imagined in their life. To have that amount of fish. To see the humbleness of his heart when facing the Savior. And then we begin to see a new path for Peter's life. One that is specifically for the purpose of the Savior. You know, all of this brings us to this point, and this is, as we look at this study, and again, it's not really a gospel message this morning, but I'll tell you, it starts with that, right? It starts with Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this probably isn't going to make much sense. But Jesus Christ has come, as John said, the Lamb of God which cometh to take away the sins of the world. He came specifically to do that, to die on the cross for your sins, for all of our sins, for my sins, so that what? You would have redemption, that you would have a forgiveness of sins. He came and did that for you, so that you wouldn't have to die in your sins and face punishment. What does He do? He resurrects, conquering sin, conquering death. So now He has the power to give eternal life. And He goes to prepare a place for us, according to John 14. But that's salvation. But after salvation, God just doesn't end it there. It moves on to something more. How the Lord works in our life to do these things. How the Lord calls us to these things. And I will tell you this, He will begin to show you things. He will begin to use others in your life to show you truths. He will begin to show you He knows you better than you know yourself. He will then show you His message and what His truth is, and then He will show you His power to do it. And then He says, follow me. Follow me, I'm giving you a new path. Live for me. Live for me. This morning I want us to reflect on these three things and we'll close. Have we noticed how the Lord has called us in our lives? I want you to think on these things. Excuse me, 4 points. Who has the Lord used to prepare our hearts? Who's our Andrew? Have we noticed how the Lord has brought us to salvation? In the moment we realize we were a sinner and we needed Him. Have we ever contemplated and thought about the part where He calls us to live a holy life solely for His purpose? And have we thought about what it is that we serve Him? In what area and how we do that? Those are all things that we need to contemplate. We see that right here with Peter. One guy called out in Scripture, written for our learning. Do you hear the Savior calling? Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. I thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. Thank You for all that You have done for us. I thank You for Your salvation. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your grace, Your long-suffering, Your forgiveness, Your kindness, Your goodness. Lord, I thank You for demonstrating all those things in my life and the lives of many of us here. And Lord, I pray that we would take this message and not just think it is just something unique in Scripture, but Lord, to apply our hearts unto the wisdom, to begin looking at how You work in our lives, how You mold us and shape us, how You prepare our heart for the service of You. And Lord, I just pray that as we close with this hymn this morning, pray that we would just think, that our minds would be transformed to think spiritually, biblically, and Christ-like, to please You, to live a life of service, to live a life of sacrifice, to forsake the things that would weigh us down, and Lord, to truly follow You. I thank You for this truth and principle we see from Your Word. I ask and pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.